Take your Bible, please, and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Thank you for all the good singing tonight. Amen? Amen. Wasn't that great? Boy, I tell you what, I think sometimes we forget that. Let's all stand and read God's Word tonight. I know that some of you really want to help me out, but sometimes I like to talk a little bit before I have you stand up and read the Word of God. So I know that Brother Bobby Brown thinks that's the greatest thing in the world, but he doesn't pastor Heritage Baptist Church. I do. So wait till I call you, all right? Why don't you sit down for a second, and I'll talk to you just for a little bit. Thank you. I know you're so excited about hearing the Word of God. Either that or you can't wait to go over and get some food tonight. But anyway, I think that's a big deal. First of all, I am preaching a series of messages on perfecting the saints. Perfecting the faint, yeah. Perfecting the saints. I'm faint tonight. There are a lot of things in our lives that, for instance, there are some who have just received Jesus Christ as personal Savior, just like this young gentleman here. There's a lot of this stuff is new to him, okay? A lot of really new stuff. But you know what I found out when I was playing football, and I had a football team sixth grader boys. My coach told me, my head football coach in college told me, is when I was coaching that team, he said, just keep it simple. Just keep it basics. He said, just basic, basic, basics. At the same time that I was coaching that, we had a marvelous coach called Lombardi over at Green Bay Packers, go Pack. And he was a tremendous coach. And to the fact that he said that to have a winning team, he said, I am going to use one special end run play. In other words, you throw it to the halfback and he goes around and we're going to practice that and practice that and practice it. Everybody knows we got it, but nobody can stop us. You know why? Because they kept practicing and practicing and practicing. And so, I fielded a bunch of boys. We had 11 man team. And these little guys and sixth graders, and all I did was basically I taught them how to tackle. And it was full pad, taught them how to tackle, how to block, how to hang on to the ball, and go off the cadence. When hut on three, hut, one, two, three, boom, get off. And I taught them just those basic things. I taught them a couple things about rules. You had to move that ball 10 yards in four plays, or they lose the ball. Just a few things. Anyway, because of that, we had a winning team. We were never beat, and we were only scored 12 points on us the whole year, which is incredible. But what I did was I did the basics, 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 basics. But there's the other thing. I also, as a coach, I ate, drank, and sleep that rule book. I looked at the rule book. I read the rule book. I became very accustomed to that rule book. And all of that, I became a ref, and I learned the rules. And that was the greatest year in football for me because I learned the rules of football. And here I was a college football player. Didn't know a lot of stuff. I mean, I knew most of the stuff just by absorbing it and being around it. But when I got the book and I perfected myself on the sport of football. I think sometimes aren't you glad you were sitting down when I'm talking about that? I've learned in my life that some people will get a brand new car and they'll drive that car around and something happens and all of a sudden finally they get out the book. And they read my son gave my wife a brand new PT Cruiser. And one day she sat on the side of the road with her four-way flashers flashing, couldn't figure out how to turn the stupid things off. And it was not on the steering column that normally is. It was down underneath the radio. And she couldn't figure it out, and there was no flashing lights on her. And guess what she did? She went to the glove box, pulled out the owner's manual, and hazard went down. Oh, there it is. Pushed it off, and she went to work. I think sometimes we as Christians, there are some things that we really miss that are very simple. And sometimes we we just figure everybody knows all this stuff. And we figure that once you get saved, you got it all. Wrong. There's a lot to it. But it's really simple if you just know what the Bible says, amen. And so I hope tonight that I can help you in that. This morning I talked about the perfecting of the saints. I talked about how that the Word of God was written for our transformation and not our edification or our information. The Word of God was given to us for transformation so that we read the Word of God, we just don't know it up here, but it becomes part of our everyday life. I was talking to family the other day, this afternoon, we had dinner with the Racies today, and they were talking about, and about how that somebody had stiffed him up for money, but he says, you know what, I know the Bible, and I said, yes, the Bible says that when you give something to somebody, don't ever expect to get it back. And when you do, jump up and down and shout hallelujah, glory to God. And I'll tell you what, though, if that's me and somebody's giving me something, I'm gonna die giving it back. Amen? I have character. I want to make sure that when it may happen again, and I want to make sure that guy says, you know what, you've taken care of me before, I'm gonna do it again. Amen? Now, I know you're not supposed to do that, but the Bible says that. And I know that some families have really had some difficulty because of that. They couldn't pay it back right away when the person demanded it back. And that causes some great trouble. Jesus said, no, that's not the way we do it. See, we have a mind, and God has the way. We think, but God says. God's word does not change. So therefore, we don't need information, though that is very good for us and understand things. This is to change us. This book is to change me. In the morning, when I read my Word of God, it to change me. I need changing all the time. I need fine-tuning. I need some work on this old heart of mine. This heart is desperately wicked. This heart is a cesspool of junk. And I have to keep working on it. So if the preacher has to get working on it, guess what? So do you. So do you. You need to work on it. And unfortunately, some people forget that. And they know there's 66 books of the Bible. And they know there's 39 Old Testament, 27 New Testament. They know there's 150 Psalms. They know that they got all this stuff down. 31 Proverbs. But they don't know nothing about living. They're so heavenly minded, they ain't no earthly good. You've met them. And they bother you. Amen. So the Word of God was written for our transformation, not our information. If God says, and this is the portion I came in this morning, if God says, be filled with the Holy Ghost, then He definitely intends for each of us Christians to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Would you agree with that? He said, salvation, you must be born again. Simply salvation is but as many to receive Him. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Neither is there salvation any other, and on and on. He says, be saved. He also tells us to be baptized. The reason we get baptized doesn't do anything for us except one. We do something for Jesus. This is the first job He has us to do. Go get baptized. What are you doing? You're telling the whole world without saying a word that when you go down in the water and saying, I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and when you come back up out of the water, the preacher raises you up, you're saying, I believe Jesus Christ rose from the grave. That's all baptism is about. Baptism is literally putting on the uniform. I'm walking down the street, And I'm doing my other thing that God has called me to do. And I carry this little thing here. And y'all know what that means, right? Stop. But people don't do that. And I'm greeted differently. I put on my uniform, my full Class A uniform. I walk into a business, and boy, everybody's looking around. This is the first thing he said. I didn't do it. I said, yes, you do, and we're looking for you. Come with us. They don't say nothing then. And I tell my brother cops, I tell them, the reason they do that, they don't know what to say to you. And they just want to say something because, for most part, they're glad you're there. So they don't know what to say. And it's always, hey, I didn't do it. Or, he did it. And I said, no, we're after you. We've already got the room. We are radio up there, and you need to come with me, sir. And they just die. It is so much fun. I said the other day, the sheriff was with me, we went out to eat, and this guy did this to us. And I said, come with me, we're looking for you. And sheriff just about busted it. I was going to say gut, but that's not very good in church, amen. But when you get baptized, you put on the uniform. If she's dressed in all white, what is she? Either a bride or a nurse, right? Thought I'd throw that in. I usually just say nurse, amen. If they have a blue uniform with a red little stripe down their leg, gray pants, what are they? Confederates. Huh? They're Confederates. No. If they speak out in church, no, all right. Therefore, when we say that his children, when he said that his children should be filled with the Holy Ghost, we should be filled with the Holy Ghost. God never intended man to be in the dark concerning his spiritual condition. When God says something, be ye saved, he wants you to be saved. When God says, follow me in believers' baptism, he says what he says. When he says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no difference. And I get a lot of people that are so afraid of this Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost business, and they go, oh, I don't want to know about it. It's because you have not been perfected. You have not learned. Now, here's what the Bible says. In the first 17 verses of chapter 5 of Ephesians, and let's stand to read that now. We're going to read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. But before that, there are 17 times that the Scripture, in these first 17 verses, the Scripture teaches us about some of the things that we are not to exceed. And if you read it, I read it over this afternoon again, but it talks about, you know, we're being followers of Christ, and as dear children, we're walking love as Christ hath loved us. And he goes on, and so verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And I want you to look at the punctuation there. It's a semicolon. Semicolon is put there to say, okay, now, what you just read, I'm going to show you, or this is going to tell you, the rest of the sentence is going to tell you how to do that. Now, speaking to yourselves, now who are we looking for? We're looking at how to get filled with the Holy Spirit, amen? Are you with me tonight? Okay. Speaking. Underline that. Speaking. Not singing, but speaking. I love singing. I love what I just heard tonight. What a blessing, amen. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto the Lord in your heart to the Lord. Now remember now, this is not talking about all of us is conglomerating. All of us coming together and speaking is talking about, hey, I am supposed to speak to myself. Away from everybody else. Someplace that's not going to, that I don't have to be somebody I'm really not. The most honest time in your life is when you're on your knees before God and you're telling God all about you without anybody else hearing you. If you pray in church, you probably pray a King James prayer. No. A King James prayer, breath, rare bone, Jeroboam, the other bone, brothers, amen. Amen, amen. And you try to put all these big words in it that you don't even know what they are, and you just, or either that or you just got your Reader Digest and got a few new words. But when you're on your knees before a holy God, all by yourself, you'll be the honest person in the world. Yeah. And that's what he said. This is the time that you're speaking to yourselves in psalms, and hymns and spiritual songs, then singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So he says, hey, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to speak to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, make melody in your heart, and then also submitting one another. I didn't want to talk to you tonight. I can't go back. It took me 35 minutes this morning to try to get through a few things, and you'll have to get the tapes from that, amen. But anyway, how do I be filled with the Holy Spirit? First of all, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Remember, these are words found in Ephesians chapter 5:19, following by a semicolon in the end of verse 8. And it's telling us, hey, this is what we're to do. Let's be seated. Father, I ask you tonight, you'd speak to our hearts. Make this not be a confusing time. Lord, you told us to be filled, and so we need to be filled. So, Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. May it be a blessing and help as we perfect the saints in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, literally, you need to open up your Bible each morning and start your morning off with what? With Psalms. There's 150 of them. You need to read those Psalms. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and doth he meditate. And he doth meditate in day and night. The Psalms have a lot of doctrine in them. The Psalms have a lot of things that many people miss. I note that some people sing songs and you cannot understand the words they're saying. My suggestion is sit down, let somebody sing that you can understand the words, because you just wasted 5 to 20 minutes of the church service. I'll be very honest with you. When I was in college, we were taught to enunciate our words, literally to preach our song. That's why you're here. You're to preach that song. You are to get the hearts ready to listen to the Word of God, listen to the preacher when he gets up to preach. And if you're singing a song that I don't understand, you got bubble gum in your mouth, or you look like a woodchuck, and not a woodchuck, yeah, a woodchuck mouth full of grass, and it doesn't do us any good. We need people that get behind this sacred desk and sing music, sing words to the musical background and melody so that it speaks to our hearts. I'm not knocking anybody, I'm just telling you, and I didn't think of anybody that does that, but I'm just telling you, hey, you got to make your words understood. If you have to sing it so fast, and we don't get it, you just wasted our time. Now, I'm trying to perfect the saints, okay? Sometimes to smooth things off, it gets a little hot, amen? Just want you to know, when you stand behind this pulpit and you're going to sing, we need to know what you're singing. What if your kid came on and said, I got a lot of kids in my church this morning. Little Logan came up and he was trying to tell me something. And I couldn't understand him, so I sent him to the interpreter, his mother and father. And they told me exactly what he said. Oh! I don't know what he's saying. I need to hear what you're saying. I'm hard of hearing. I can't hear sometimes the way I wish I could hear. And sometimes that noise or even the piano sometimes will drown out what you're saying. And I'll look over to Nancy and I'll go like this. All I'm saying is, you're playing that piano too loud and the people can't hear the words. Or I'll go to Andy. I want him to bring that mic up so I can hear. See, words are very important. Music's nice. I think it's wonderful to hear the trumpets play a trumpet, but I don't want Bree to play something on a trumpet that we don't know the words to. Because it's just music. I want music, the words of the music, to fill my heart. Trumpet's great for ta 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 ta. What does that mean? Huh? What's it mean? Get up! I understand that. In fact, that's what my song. That on my phone to get up in the morning. It goes ta 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 ta. I haven't yet got the taps for going to bed yet, but anyway. I usually don't need that. I just drop in bed. But anyway, but those, even Moses said about the sound of uncertainty. And you don't want uncertainty in your church. You want some people to understand. Well, it had nothing to do with this, but I just want to help you out there, right? Now, then we find the words of hymns. Words of hymns refer to songs. We got Psalms, teaches doctrine. We have hymns. They refer to the songs praising God for His character and for His qualities, such as "How Great Is Thy Faithfulness, O God, My Father," and "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." And then there's the spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. And now remember now, how do I get filled with the Holy Spirit of God? I read the words. I speak the words of the Psalms and hymns, and then the spiritual song. What are spiritual songs? Spiritual songs have words written about salvation and about testimony. And that song you sang about Job. And, you know, that blessed my heart when she broke up a little bit on Job's wife saying something. You ladies, you got to be very careful how you treat that man that lives in your house, that you don't discourage him or destroy him. You can destroy him. Yes, you can. I don't want to do this. Curse God. Do you think Mrs. Job is hurting? She just lost all her babies. She just lost her Cadillac, probably. She just lost all her means. She's lost her servants who were helping in her house. She's all... You think that bothered her? Yeah. And all of that, she lost her husband who would take care of her. He can't take care of her because he is what? He's sick. And now she becomes the caregiver. You think she's frustrated? Hey, girls, can I tell you, don't get frustrated when he's frustrated, all right? If you're going to get mad, don't you be mad when she's mad. If you're really feeling low, you make sure he's not feeling low. It's very interesting. You're talking to these couples, and one couple, you know, things are going pretty good. The other couple's having a bad day, comes home, and boy, I'll tell you what, the whole house is a mess. I'll tell you a little. Next time there's not much food in the house, girls, always keep an onion. I'm going to tell you something, all right? Always keep an onion. When you know he's coming home about 35 to 40 minutes before he comes home, take that onion and put it in the oven. And at 325, cook it for 45 minutes. When he gets home, he's going to go, he can smell it coming in the house. Especially when it's cold outside here. And man, he's just, I mean, the Pavlov dog thing. I mean, he's drooling. He says, honey, what are we having? Oh, nothing. What do you mean nothing? I smell onions. Well, I know, I'm just trying to make the house smell. I'm so starved. Let's go out. Trying to help you out there. Hey, here's one. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yeah. That's a spiritual song. I once was lost. Now I'm found. Was blind. Now I see. I'm a child of the King, the Father. My Father is rich in houses and land, and holdeth the wealth of the world in His hand. In the morning, you're having a tough time. You need something. You need the Spirit of God to move in your heart and your life, and things are being pretty tough, and you're starting reading a song like that, and all of a sudden said, my Father is rich in houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in His hand. I'll tell you what. You'll get a touch from heaven, amen? Our church songbook has hundreds of good songs to use. Someone said to me, hey, preacher, I need a songbook. And I told her where it was. And she said, well, there's only one. I said, that's right. We can order some more, amen. I think they're about $10 or $12. If you'd like a songbook, let us know. Don't take the one that's in your seat there, please. I know some guys will come after you. The Spirit of God is only effective at the degree of willingness that our human spirit is positive to open up to. How much the Holy Spirit do you want in your heart and your life? Please note the important words of the songs to the Christian. Remember, for God wants us to sing. Before He wants us to sing, He wants us to read those words so it etches in our heart. Choose the songs that educate your heart and teach your mind of the truth, God through His Word. There is great doctrine embedded in the hymns, in the psalms, in the gospel songs of your hymnal. Secondly, how do I become filled with the Holy Spirit? By singing, make melody in my heart unto God. Notice that God commanded in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, to be singing and making melody in your heart. So first of all, God said, okay, first of all, you get saved. Now you say, I want the Spirit of God to move in my heart. What am I supposed to do? Go get the hymns of the faith. First of all, go get the Psalms. Read the Psalms. Read your Bible. And then read your hymns. And then read the spiritual songs. And then you ought to be a singer. I was sitting up here and listening to the Ortiz family, but the newest of Ortiz family wasn't up there. And I went like, you. And not only did that, but the guy in back of him did the same thing to him. You'll be singing yet, buddy. Amen. You got it. She's a songbird. Amen. And the idea is we're supposed to be singers. Not for performance, but for God. Even the buzzard makes a sound. Amen. It is not for performance that we're working here. It's to touch your own personal heart. It's to get you to the point where though you may... I heard one guy say, you know what, preacher? The only singer we had in the house was the soul machine. My mama said... I remember this person in our church saying, and my mom never said anything untasteful, but somehow I heard her say, boy, that sounds like the tune the old cow died on. She was talking about the song, not the singer, but anyway. And certainly we should have a song in our heart. Every Christian ought to be a singer. I'm not talking about performance. I'm not talking about public form. It's referring to the singing unto the Lord. God gave us a voice to use for Him. He doesn't care the tone or the pitch or the musical talent. He cares about the heart and how much you love Him. And I've seen little boys, little girls, they're so happy, they're singing around the house. Amen. That's a big deal. That means they're happy. He wants us to sing for Him and to Him. Just like the birds sing in the woods, and nobody else but God hears them. Then He says, making melody. That literally means to play an instrument. If the only thing you play is kazoo, hey, you did it, amen. But every person ought to be able to play some kind of instrument. Music is such a powerful medicine for the soul and the spirit of man. Unfortunately, most Christians never learn how to sing. God is commanding us to do the singing and the playing, not the listening of everybody else is doing it for us. If you hear somebody sing tonight, that's great songs. But if you personally get those words and start singing them a song and do something for your heart. What is God telling us? God said, be ye filled with the Holy Ghost. Start reading the words of the Psalms. Start reading the words of the songs and the hymn books and chorus books. To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave his son. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Man, I'll tell you what, get all tickled about it anyway. God says, speak to yourself in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. And when you do that, guess what's going to happen? Your heart becomes tender. And our spirit is filled and uplifted. What are we supposed to be? Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, it's not suggesting singing at the top of your lungs at 4:30 in the morning in the shower and waking up mom and the kids. Or scaring your neighbors and getting arrested for public nuisance. Not talking about that. This is the time that you are alone. I told the folks this morning, come down here at the church. We got 8 acres here. Get in the parking lot. Scream to your hardest. As loud as you want, amen. Just find some quiet place that you can go and not be distracted. Because what are you doing? You're worshiping God. How do you become filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, you're supposed to read it aloud. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's speaking of Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I love that. And I try to enunciate and build it up. Instead of saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down and drink. No, I don't like that. I like that. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. Hey, that's good, amen. Huh? That'll tickle you, amen. Boy, I'll tell you what, you can just see it. You can just curtail that stuff, you know. Take the songbook and read the song. Everybody should own a songbook. Not steal, but own a songbook, amen. And, read the song. God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Hey, little widow at home, and you're lonely, you get out your songbook and start reading that. Ain't nobody home. You ain't going to bother nobody. Just read it. Read it and read it and read it. And you'll weep. And you'll have joy. And you're thrilled. What's happening? The Spirit of God is coming upon you. Amen. Though the days of toil when heart doth fail, God will take care of you. When dangers fierce your path assail, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day and all the way. Hey, that's good preaching, amen. Okay. That was all the sermons this morning. Now I'll get you the new stuff, all right? You may not want this. This is how not to get it, but anyway. How do you become filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, what did he say? Verse 20. What does it say? Giving thanks. Oh, this is a good Thanksgiving sermon. Amen. Giving thanks always. For all things. Hey, Joe! What are you doing? I'm giving thanks for all things. What? Can you give thanks for all things? I'll tell you what. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you can. Everything. Everything goes on in your life. The way you were born. The family you were born into. The situation, things that happened in your life. Why? God said, you give thanks for all things. He said, but you don't understand what happened to me when I was a young girl, when I was a young boy. I'm telling you, God said, you give thanks for it. I thought you said you wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Deep down inside, you've got some junk in there, and you're still bitter, and you're still mad about it. And bless God, if you saw that person, you'd rip off their head and spit it out of the bloody butt of it. Man, you're so fired up, you'd grab them by the arm and beat them over the head with it. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't going to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Some of you just got to release some things, let some things go, and say, dear God, I'm going to thank you for everything that's happened in my life. Because one thing, number one, when these things happen to us, it also makes us a little bit more careful about how we raise our kids and the places we allow our kids to go to and the places and things we allow them to be at. We are very careful about that. Hey, would it be that God has saved your children from a lot of things just because of the thing you went through? Wouldn't you rather go through that so that your children didn't have to go through that? I would say, yeah. This happened to me. It ain't happened to you. I'll guarantee you, my three boys did not have the liberty that I had. But it was my responsibility to raise those boys up in the way that God taught me how to raise them. And I got a lot of junk on my life. But I tell you what, my boys didn't have that junk on their life. What does God mean? Tell God, thank you for saving your soul. If you ask God what to thank him, he'll tell you. Lord, what do you want me to thank you about? Every morning when you're on your face before him, God will tell you something. I in my prayer list, I keep revamping it and writing things down. And boy, lately I just wrote a whole bunch of things down about what I'm thankful that God did. I wrote down all the places I got to work and all the places I got to meet. I wrote down college professors' names. I wrote down football coaches' names. I wrote down people that really had a great impact on my life. Thank you. I'll take $5 off that sermon for your ignorance right there. God says, okay, thank me for your wife.
Amen.
Now, for old Charlie there, that ain't hard right now, brother. Woo! He said, happy day, happy day, happy day. Tomorrow morning when he's on his face before God, thanking God for, boy, he just, it's fresh, man. I'll tell you what. Woo! I love her. Amen. Come 40 years from now, I hope you're doing the same thing. And you can. God will give you those things to remember. God says, okay, thank me for your wife. And I repair, wow, I have no problem with that. Thank you. I've got the best wife in the entire world. This afternoon, my wife and I lay down for a little nap. And I got up, and she usually doesn't wake up when I get out of bed. At that time, and this is how I know she's awake. I go like this. Without saying nothing, she'll go. Doesn't say nothing, but. And I said, Marcia, I sure love you. And she says, I love you too. Whew. I don't know. Shook up. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Wow, huh? Amen? Boy, good stuff. Well, I'm just doing what God told me to. I'm thankful. God says, that's right. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 14. House and riches are an inheritance of the Father, and a prudent wife is of the Lord. You can live in a teepee, in a shack. You can live in the most whatever. As long as you got a prudent wife, that means she knows how to behave herself around others. Not an old prude, but prudent. Scripture says in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing for her and obtain favor of God. You just obtain favor of God by marrying that girl. Yes, you did. That's why I have a really hard time with some of these people disrespecting their wife or disrespecting their husband, because God has given you something so wonderful.
Amen.
And then you just treat it like trash and junk. Are you out of your mind? I start thanking God for my wife, then maybe He'll bring to my mind that I need to thank God for my parents. Thank God for my parents. Two little ladies in my church today came beside me. They're kind of small. We got some small girls here. And I said to Jessica, the new girl coming, Jessica, Walls, not Walls, but Jessica, yeah. Huh? Yeah, Jessica Quinn. I said, good night. And Mr. Buell, were you there too when I said that? Oh, I know. It was you and Mrs. Quinn and Mrs. Furr. I said, you girls about the same size as my mama. They're, you know, just little guys, you know. And I'm tower over them, Bruno. Man, we do have some small girls in here, amen. And, you know, I thank God for my little mama. Boy, she's a mighty lady. I never want to cross my mama. Boy, oh boy. She was powerful. This big old football guy come home from playing football, and she just looked me in the eyes and said, "Boy," and, "Yes, ma'am." Yeah. Then maybe it'll bring our parents. Maybe it'll bring to our mind the team that we work with. Y'all have different teams in your life you work with. I thank God for the things of my life. And as I find myself thanking Him, I find my spirit soaring. Thank you, Lord, for these dear people that work at Heritage Baptist Church. All volunteers, just there to do things. Do things out of their heart and out of their love for the Lord. They're not doing it for me. They're doing it for the Lord. And my heart soars within me. These people go out on that bus every Sunday and sewing on Saturday and bus calling and, you know, and cleaning. By the way, speaking about cleaning, we need somebody to help the church. Mrs. Hobbs is going in for surgery on the 5th of December, so we need some people to help us. So if you can help clean the church, it'd be a wonderful thing. But those are just some of the things that we do, and our hearts soar. And when you come into the church and you're doing your job and you're doing, man, I kind of feel good about this. This is my church. You just took possession of your church. I don't know of a more powerful evidence of the Spirit-filled person than the evidence of gratitude when we live in such a crude generation. We are fast losing our spirit of kindness and gratefulness and helpfulness. I don't want to lose that. I cannot tell you how this last 2 weeks I've finally felt like a pastor again after 2.5 years. I've had people coming to my house and help me and help with my precious wife. I had funerals, I had weddings, I had sheriff stuff, I had the hospital stuff, I had people in the hospital. And for someone to come in and do that, I cannot thank you enough. And I hope you realize when you come to my house how indebted I feel to you. I believe the scripture says that when you're thankful, it changes your heart and your life. I read the other day, it says, only in America can we be so thankful on Thanksgiving and then Friday rip packages out of other people's hands on Friday. There's something wrong. There's something wrong about that. You know? But think of it. We are to be thankful. What are you thankful for tonight? Thank you to the little guy sitting out there by uncle and on your wife's lap. Thankful for the little ones in the nursery. Well, the Bible says that when you do this, and even the hard times like sickness and loss and everything, God said, you be thankful. I'll take care of it. The fourth thing is submitting yourself one to another. Chapter 5, verse 21 in Ephesians. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. How do I become spirit-filled? Well, first of all, I sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen? And then I make melody in my heart. Why? Because my heart is so full of the things that I have read, the things I have looked at and spoken, now my heart starts singing. Kind of like psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, kind of like the thing that primed the pump. And all of a sudden, I get so tickled about it, I really don't care how I sound, I just start singing. At my house, very interesting, every once in a while, my wife will just start singing. That means their heart's full. And then the Bible says, once we do that, we become thankful. See? We become very thankful. And thus, then when we become thankful, then what's the next course? Submitting yourself one to another. Listen, I am so busy today, I need to launder my load of dirty clothes. Is there any way you could help me? If your husband said that to you, your wife said that to you husbands, and your husband said, hey, no problem, I'll take care of it. You'd have to call the EMS and restart her heart. But honey, I got so much to do. Well, the Bible says, submitting yourself one to another. You want the Spirit of God to be upon your life? You want the Holy Spirit of God to come into your life? When someone asks you for help, are you willing to submit to them? Are you looking for people to help? Are you looking and listening closely when you see somebody or hear somebody say, you know, boy, I tell you, I'm on some food. By the way, I know someone has some deer meat. If you'd like, it's already processed. If you'd like it, see me after the service. I'd be more than happy to get it for you. But that was a person who just told me, hey, preacher, I want to help out. Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody said to you, hey, I can do that. First of all, it takes a lot for us to ask somebody for help. You have no idea. When I know I've got something going on, you have no idea how hard it is for me to get on my phone, and I push this phone, and I push the contacts, and then I put right here, HBC. And everybody from Heritage Baptist Church name comes up. I had to do that the other day. I had a wedding, and my dear wife was not ready to get up. And I went down it, and down it. Pretty hard thing to ask for help. It is. If you've ever been a caregiver, you know what I'm talking about, because you do not want to put them in a situation that's difficult. Now, I don't want you to get that I'm asking for help. I'm not telling you. I'm just telling you something. When someone asks you something, that, first of all, that's a pretty big thing for them. Now, I know you've always got the, what do you call those guys? They're always looking for help. They're always on the land. They're always, you know, they wouldn't do it. It's kind of like the old guy that, He was having some trouble at the place, and he asked prayer for him. And the reason he wanted prayer because he wanted some help. You know, using people. A good Christian does not use people. They're out there to help people. Well, he was using people. And so this guy came over and did his whole crop. And he thanked the man. He says, now, can you take that down the elevator and sell it for me and bring me the money? There's people like that. You're going to run into people like that. But the Bible said you do it anyway. But there are many people that in your life, they're going to come and say, hey, I really need some help. I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know how I can do it. I cannot do what I'm supposed to do and I'm called to do unless you help me. That's a big deal. That's a very big deal. So, we get Spirit-filled. We get filled with the Spirit by submitting ourselves one to another. A wife never submits to her husband until she learns to submit to someone who is higher authority than she is. She'll never submit. You guys, when you're looking for a girl, you're looking for a married one, you make sure you watch her and see if she's willing to submit to her parents. I watch my wife like a hawk. When I started dating my wife, Marcia, I went to her house, and I just watched. And her mama did something, and boy, she was out of that seat, and she was doing it. Her mama asked her to wash dishes. Her boyfriend is there, sitting next to her. She got up and went and did it. And I said, we're in college, and the cafeteria is here, and I was standing here, and she said, come here. And I said, no, you come here. She said, that's me. No, I just said. And she said, okay. And I got up and I ran halfway to her. But I was just seeing. I don't want some woman that I'd always have to be battling all the time. Boys, y'all take note. Remember that. I took her home, took Marcia home to my home, and within an hour, my mama said, she's the one for you, isn't she? So she said, I took another one, took about 2 days, she said, she's not for you. And I said, okay. Get the mother to love you first. You are a smart man. Get the mother to love you first, and then move in, amen. All right. Oh, yeah. How do you get filled with the Holy Ghost? Every day I get up. And I'm going to read some Psalms. I'm going to read the Scriptures. I'm going to start to feel the Spirit of God in my heart. And it's going to be changed, going to change me from my own selfishness. By the way, in the morning, you're very selfish when you get up. You go from selfishness to unselfishness. You go from self-love to love to others. You go from self-promotion to promotion of others. You say to yourself, I've got to find another one. And you get in the Scriptures and you read until you start quoting the Scriptures. And what happens when you speak a psalm, when you speak a hymn, when you give thanks to God, and when you submit yourself to others, your heart will become open to the filling of the Holy Ghost. How do I get filled with the Holy Ghost? Simply, I open up my spirit. And to get my spirit to open up, I get the Word of God in my heart. And I get it such a way that my heart begins to sing within me. And I get happy. I get calmed. I'm going to trust God in my day because I've just read that He will never leave me nor forsake me. I've just read that He said, I'll take you to heaven when you die. I've just read something. All of a sudden it just gets me going. Amen. You get filled with God's Spirit by making possible the Spirit of God to work through you. Now I want to give you some the other side. Notice the negative being filled. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. If you can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, Scripture also says that you can do the opposite and that you will grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Bible always explains itself. Go to verse 31 of chapter 4. See there? See in chapter 4, verse 31. Let all. Now, when it says let all, it's talking about all of these. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. This is the kind of statement a person should really be careful to close his spirit to. Oh, I can't stand that person. Ever hear that? How many ever heard somebody say that? I can't stand them. They annoy me. Every time I get around her, I see red. What are you doing here? Closing the spirit. And God's spirit can't work to you. By the way, it is not your responsibility to get the spirit. You don't get the spirit, nor do you fill yourself with the Holy Spirit of God. The person doesn't get the spirit and shove him into your own life. You allow the spirit to fill your life. Every Christian should know that there's something wonderful called the fullness of the Holy Spirit. How do you get the fullness of the Holy Spirit? It is not trying to work it up. It's not trying to work it up or to work it out or work it in. But it's allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and on us. Nothing is wrong with the Holy Spirit of God. He's not broken. So when God said, be ye saved, we're supposed to be saved. When God said, get baptized to show that you've been saved, get baptized. And when he says, be ye filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he means just that. Spirit of God is not broken. You don't say to the Holy Spirit, what's the matter with you? Why don't you work in me? God will say to you, I can't. You have a rotten attitude. That's why I can't fill you. Hey, listen to me. I know what time it is. Listen to me. If you got a rotten attitude, how in the world can God work with you? You're bitter about something. Something happened to you. Somebody didn't do exactly what you want them to do. Somebody didn't come across the way you're supposed to come across. Something just not right. And all of a sudden, you're there. The other day, somebody wrote something to me that was going on. And so I just went on my text. God will say to you, I can't fill you. God says, I can't work with a person who's bitter. You bitter? You don't like what's going on? You're married to this guy that now you think you shouldn't be married to? Too late. You live the one that God gave you. And be happy with him or be happy with her. Why don't you just act so nice that she will turn nice? Amazing thought. Maybe she's just fighting just to stay alive and you're just beating her. Maybe you're just bullying her. Maybe you're just pushing her. And she's so afraid of you that you can't even say anything to you. Boy, that sounds like a spirit-filled Christian to me, huh? Wrong. I can't work through a person who's unforgiving. I know some people that have held grudges for 20, 30 years, 40 years. In fact, they don't even know why they have the grudge, but they just know, hey, he's a Hatfield and they're a McCoy. I pastored this church for 7 years in South Dakota, and there was a family up north and a family down south, and I'm telling you, it wasn't from the dividing line was not the Mason-Dixon line. The dividing line was First Baptist Church out in South Dakota. And for 5 years, I preached on love. How can you be a Christian if you don't have love? And it just watered off the duck's back. They just kept on, and they had a grudge. I'll tell you what. I'll guarantee you, they never will be spirit-filled until they take care of that bitterness. And neither will you. You listen to me.
Right.
You're all fired up about that person, and you're all mad about that person, and you're ticked off about that family, and mad about that in-law and outlaw and whatever. I'm going to tell you something. You let God take care of that. You be filled with the Holy Ghost. And every time you meet them kindly. And you don't talk about them behind your back. You just meet them kindly and you be kind to them.
Amen.
Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. As God has it for Christ's sake. If you tell me you're full of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to say you're a liar. You cannot be filled with the Holy Ghost if you're bitter. There is no way. There's no way that God can work in your heart and your life when you've got all this junk inside that heart. I can't work through a person who's unkind, God says. I can't work through a person that's full of malice. I can't work through a person that's unforgiving. I can't work through a person that's bitter. All those words, now get this now, it's very interesting. I never realized it. All those words that I just said are all spirit words. It's not a physical thing. It's not like you broke my toy. It's you broke my heart. It's a spirit thing. Some of you got some kids in your family. And you've got a problem with them. Or some of them have a problem with you. When I was passing a little church in Dallas, Minnesota, there's a really neat old guy. I really liked him. His name was Marvin. Bless his soul, he's in heaven. And his wife, named Annabelle. She passed too. And I, every time I met him, I'd go out to their farm. He was the nicest guy. One day I said, Marvin, why didn't you come to church? He said, I'm ashamed to come to church. I said, why is that? He said, my wife is such a two-faced old ninny. I said, TM, all right, too much information. She said, that's why I don't go to church. I'm embarrassed. Think she was full of the Holy Spirit? Marvin one day said, hey, I want to take you fishing. And we started to get to become a friend, despite her. Or in spite of her, I think it was for him. And we went fishing. He taught me how to fly fish for crappies. And he'd go out late in the afternoon, late in the evening, and fly for these little crappies. And we're giggling and laughing. He said, well, I said, Marvin, I said, why aren't you coming to church? He said, I can't, preacher. I said, why not? I said, don't you like me? He said, man, I love you. I said, well, why don't you go? He said, because she's such an embarrassment to me. I said, I want to ask you a question. Are you saved, Marvin? He said, yes, I am. I was 14 years old. That's Jesus in my heart. I said, have you been baptized? No. I said, I could take care of that right now. We're standing out about this much water. And we laughed. I laughed. We were just having a good time. And I said, and I started to talk to Marvin about don't allow her to ruin your opportunity to serve God. And we've got really good friends. By the way, about a month later, I baptized and became a member of the church, never missed the service. And she had to behave herself because he was going to take her to task if she didn't. What do you got inside of you? All those spirit words. So is our wicked kind, but kind way of saying things. What's the matter with him or her today? Those are spirit words. When you snap at someone and say, shut up, or growl at someone. When you give someone the devil look and say, leave me alone, I'm having a bad day. Well, just because you're having a bad day, you don't have to spread around, okay? It's kind of like measles. Keep them yourself, amen. Those words reveal your spirit. And all those are spirit words. When you say, I won't forgive him until hell freezes over, you keep that grudge going for years, and then you pray, Holy Spirit, please fill me. What a mockery. The person's spirit is all bottled up or shut up and cannot get the message. Anger and malice and unkindness shuts out the Holy Ghost of God. Unforgiving hearts turn the Holy Spirit away, and God says, I can't get in. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. But the door is locked. When your spirit closes up, you're trying to tell someone about Christ. You say, nothing's happening. Why won't they get saved? God says, get rid of your malice. Get rid of your unkindness. Get rid of your unforgiveness. Get rid of your wrath. Get rid of anger. Get rid of that bad spirit. Open up your spirit. And if you open up the spirit wide, God says, I can really fill you. When you quote, the heaven declares the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork, you're opening the spirit. When you quote, I will sing to the mercies of the Lord forever, I will sing, you're opening up the spirit. When I quote, I've got the joy, 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 you say, sure, you're a fool. Yeah, I may be a fool, but I'm a happy one. Yes, I'm one filled spiritful. I did notice through our Sunday altars that folks come down the aisle, get right with God. If you have a grumpy spirit, it will be difficult for you to come down this aisle and hit the altar. If you have a grumpy spirit, awful hard to go soul winning, pass out a tract, difficult to knock on doors, and difficult to tell your neighbors that they need to get saved. And when you get up in the morning and speak to yourselves in psalms and hymn and spiritual song and say, God, I'm so happy today. I'm happy today. I'm happy today. And go on with the song, amen. My wife and I many times wake up. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. She said, I'm going back to bed. You give thanks in all things. You may say, my bills aren't all paid, but I do have a job. Thank you, Lord, that someone wants to pay me to work. Thank you, God. When you begin to take off the restrictions that work at holding back the Holy Spirit of God, certainly there is more to it. But anyone can begin working on this. You open your Bible in the morning and get your Psalms. Real easy. Open it up in the middle. You don't even have to hardly have your glasses on. Just open that Bible up in the middle and there's your Psalms. You say, where should I start? Anywhere. It's all good, amen. It's all good. Open the songbook. Start reading. Start saying out loud. And then start singing. Keep the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in your life and keep your thankful attitude for everything in your life. Then look for the find way to submit yourself to not promote yourself, but be able to promote them. I see so many people who want so much promotion. And they do things so people say, oh, wow, that's really good, man. Boy, you're great. See, the people say, I don't want the praise. I just want God to be praised.
Amen.
I hear somebody's having some difficult time. They need something. I'm just going to some way, somehow, let them find it without them knowing I did it. The Bible says, when you give somebody openly, you've already got the honor. You've already got the blessing. But if you go and do something, God says, I'll be reminded of what you've done. Find ways to do good deeds to someone else. We're starting a new thing. Brother Clyde brought it up, and of course, his wife will probably be the first recipient. It's called, what do we call it? Huh? Deployed spouses. We have people that have to leave, and all of a sudden, a little lady has to shovel sidewalks and mow lawns and whatever, and trying to get David and Clyde to get this thing going to help these wives that are left home. I think that could bring something for the Spirit. I heard a family in our church found out these kids are getting married. Kids, I don't care. I'm 67 in January. I use kids. And somebody found out they needed some, found out and got them some, gave them some dishes and things. That's what I'm talking about. This world is not just you. You're in a community. You need to help people. You said, but they're not saved. They might get saved. They just might say, whoa. Heard a young family comes to our church, comes without daddy, and daddy says, those Baptists, they sure do help us a lot. It may take a long time to win daddy, Lord. But I sure hope the day that he walks down and gets saved and follows the Lord and believes baptism becomes an integral part of Heritage Baptist Church. Because someone keeps doing some things. God says, that person's spirit is opening, and when the spirit is open, my spirit can work through him. This is what the Word of God tells us to do. Step by step, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Is it difficult? No. Is it spooky? No. You have to roll around on the ground and get all crazy? No. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do, but I have to open my heart and get rid of the junk in my heart and disperse that junk so that I can be used for God. I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want God's filling in my life. If God said, get saved, and he makes it so simple, by faith, believe, trust, and tells us to get baptized to show the illustration. And he says, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Shouldn't be hard. Why would God put something out there that we can't be? It's just that we are so stinking selfies and so caught up in our own self and our own way, and bless my wife and me and my three sons and that's it. Amen. That we have missed the whole thing about Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled does not mean you're going out and speaking in tongues. Spirit-filled means that you're not going to go over to a guy and say, rise up and walk. Spirit-filled is that I live a life that's Christ's life. And I purge myself of my own goods, my own wants, and I want to help others through this very, very rough old world. It's a rough world out there. People need help. And God has placed you in a position. You will see people and you can do things that I will never meet. And so, if they're just not just one preacher, but a whole congregation of people that are acting that way, boy, we just might get something done out here. You might. Who cares if you get the glory? I thought all glory was to the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
I thought that we were not to live for ourselves, but we were to live for others. Others, yes, Lord, others. This my motto be. Others. I don't know about you, but I hope tonight that perfecting the saint changes our hearts and our lives and changes our church and the fact the way that, you know, we say, you know what, it's not about me. Sure, go ahead. Say anything you want about me. Fine. If you're talking about me, that means you can't talk about anybody else at the same time. So at least I'm taking it. Amen. But I'm going to be looking. I want to look for things I can do. But how do I got? I got to get to them. I got to get to those Psalms. That's the prerequisite. I got to get to the Psalms. I got to get to the hymns. I got to get to the spiritual songs. Once I got that and my heart gets filled, then I start singing and making melody in my heart. It's not a performance. It's a real thing. And then I am going to submit myself to help others. I'm willing to come under what somebody else wants. Well, that seemed pretty simple, didn't it? It is, unless you are so mad inside of you, you can't. Your cork is about ready to pop. Everybody frustrates you, and they don't do what you want them to do. Do you know what? They do things that they don't even know that gripes you and light your fire. Why did you do that? Oh, that's the way I've done all the time. You mean you're not doing it to grind me? No, I'm not doing it to grind you. Why would I want to grind you? And some people have that attitude. So yeah, he's picking on me. She's after me. Some people want to do a job so well that they kind of knock over some vases doing it. And so then that frustrates us, and they're running it, and I'm not running it. So what? Is it getting done? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit or not? I do. I want to do what the Bible tells me to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. And though it makes me look bad, or it looks like that I'm not pulling my load or something like that, hey, you know what? If they want to do it, let them do it. I don't know, but I want to pastor a spirit-filled church. I want to pastor a church that we love each other and we concern for each other. And my goodness, it's 7:50 almost. Wouldn't it be neat to have a spirit-filled church? When people came in, we thought more about them than where we'd get a seat. I've had people tell me that they went to sit down someplace and somebody said, "You can't sit there, that's my seat." Well, that's really good, yeah. Montana's friendliest church, except for seats. Don't you dare sit in her seat. Don't you dare sit in the back. Don't you dare. I really don't care. Someone came up this morning, and I looked at her, and I saw her face, and she looked so tired. And she came in late for Sunday school. And I said, "Oh, I'm so glad you came." I really mean it. You know, there are some things that just don't work this tonight. My wife and I was telling her, and I gave her something to eat. She started coughing. I had to give her something, and we're on a tight schedule. And I had to get it. I said, "Baby, look what time it is." I said, "Oh, man. Rick's going to start without me being there." We raced to do that, you know. And I pull up the deal, and here, Mrs. Hobbs is sitting south. "Will you please park my car? I have 2 minutes to get in the pulpit." She didn't gripe, didn't claim. Just got in the truck and moved ahead. That's spirit-filled. Don't gripe. Don't complain. Be thrilled that you can be used. Be thrilled that somebody can say, "Hey, David, help me." Well, Phoebe must say, "Oh, there he goes again." And Logan says, "Can I come?" Amen. Yeah. Ideas. Let's get this thing heart. Let's get this old heart right. Because if you don't have this heart, you don't get any other stuff. And that's why he says, go to the Psalms. Go to the hymns. Go to the songs. Spiritual songs. Then, something happens. And your heart starts singing that melody in your heart. And then all of a sudden said, "I'm ready. When we just play football, we go in Saturday before the game, get in there about 1 o'clock. Game's going to start about 2. Everybody's suiting up, and all of a sudden the coach gets in there, and he starts riling it up. I mean, he wants us to kill. He wants us to break people's bodies in half. He wants to ban. He's just telling us all these things. He's telling us we can do things we never thought we could do. We can leap a building with a single bounce. We can go faster than a road, you know, locomotive, and faster than a speeding bullet. Man, he's just telling us everything. Look out for the Krypton, amen. And you know what? We're all in that locker room thinking we could. And these boys are big guys. They're going to kill us. But inside our brain, boy, we're going to do it. I think sometimes that's what it is in our Christian life. We have forgot the pep talk. We forgot the thing that gets us to the point where God wants us to be. And that's how he does. Very simple. Father in heaven, I pray you speak to our hearts. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you to the Lord Jesus for this simplicity of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. It's maybe simple, but it's really profound things that happen. Dear God, I pray tonight that you would, if there's anyone here tonight not saved, Lord, tonight would be that night that you as their personal Savior said, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me my sins. I believe you died on the cross, rose on the third day. Come into my heart. Save me right now. For those that need to follow you in baptism, I pray they'd come. For those that want the filling of the Holy Ghost upon their life, God, would they come and confess some things that need to be taken care of. Let's speak to ours. In Jesus' name. Heads about, eyes are closed. Tina's playing. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. If I were to die tonight, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'd sure like to know that. Would you step out of that seat, walk down this aisle and say, preacher, tonight, I want to be saved. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I've accepted Christ my Savior, but I haven't followed Lord and believers' baptism. Why don't you come at this time? Let's all stand. Everyone standing here tonight, say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Bible how you know to be saved. You're here tonight and you want to follow Lord and believers' baptism. You come. Hey, brother. Talk to this morning right at the door. And you realize, David, you realize this does not save you. This shows everybody what you've already done in your heart. All right?
Okay.
You're not to say, you know, God is speaking to me about being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's some things in my heart and my life that I'm having a problem with. And I want to give them to God tonight. Why don't you come? Why don't you use this old-fashioned altar up here and say, you know, I want God's Spirit filling in my heart and my life. I want the filling of the Holy Spirit in my life. Hey, there's some things you got to get rid of. There's some things you got to take to the blood of Jesus Christ. Say, dear God, there's some things that happened in my life. And tonight, I'm asking you to take that out of my life. I'm asking you to get rid of it. I don't want to think bad thoughts of those people anymore. I just want to confess it and get on with you. Lord, maybe you're here tonight and say, preacher, I didn't do that. They made me do that. Well, then, why don't you just say, dear God, I want you to take care of that for me tonight. Just take care of it for me tonight. I don't want that to hinder my spirit anymore. I don't know what God's speaking to your heart about, but I'll tell you what, God can really work in your heart. And the things of the foolishness of our youth and things that seem to get us down so much, we right now can say, dear God, would you help me to get over that? And Lord, you fight my battle for me. I'm leaving it. I'm leaving it at the altar. I'm not going to bring it up again. I'm just going to leave it here. I'm not going to bring that up again. It's over. Well, I'll tell you what, it'll change your life. It'll change your family. some things in life. You just keep bringing them up and bringing them up and bringing them up. Somebody did something to you a long time ago, and you just keep bringing it up, bringing it up. Be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You start with your Psalms, and it builds. Then you go to the hymns. Then you go to the spiritual songs. Then all of a sudden you start making melody in your heart. Then you begin smitting yourselves. Boy, what a great deal.